Kia ora, welcome to episode 44 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Another exciting week of lots of Star Wars news to round up, so let's jump in and talk Star Wars. Start off by talking about upcoming Disney Plus productions. There's a few to just touch base on. First up on the list is The Book of Boba Fett, which we're very much looking forward to coming out in December. The big news from the past week is that a screening date has officially been confirmed, as well as the promo poster / key art for this series. Book of Boba Fett, of course, is starring Temuera Morrison as Boba Fett and continuing on from his appearance in The Mandalorian. This will be screening in New Zealand on Wednesday, the 29th of December. We're expecting 9 p.m. New Zealand release time. This is the time that The Mandalorian has been screening for its sort of December slot. The time that we see things in New Zealand changes a little bit through the year because of our daylight savings and daylight savings in America. This material comes out at 12 a.m. midnight in the US, which corresponds to between 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. It's working out really well for us in many regards. I think an evening time slot is better than a midnight time slot in many ways. And of course, this is now screening on Wednesdays instead of the Friday slot that The Mandalorian used to occupy, as Disney Plus is moving a lot of their content, or most of their content releases, to a Wednesday night schedule. Very much looking forward to this show, of course. We've been anticipating it for a while. We knew that it was coming out in December, but this December 29th official date is now officially locked in. It's a little bit later than we'd perhaps hoped. We were thinking it might come in just before Christmas, but it is what it is, and we're looking forward to it nonetheless.
I would have hoped that it was more of an early December release. The Mandalorian launched with Disney Plus. That was in November. So yeah. I was kind of hoping that this would keep a slightly similar sort of launch sort of cadence. And also, you'd think that Disney would be pushing new Star Wars live action series hard just before Christmas and the sort of lead up, so that you'd have that huge big sort of merchandise hit.
I don't know what sort of product we might be expecting for this or when, but I think it's not going to be well in advance like we had the special Friday release with the Mandalorian action figures and so forth, well in advance of the actual screening of that show back in the day. I don't know that we'll get that much product before Christmas for this, based on this post-Christmas release date.
Like, we do know what Boba Fett looks like in both his face and his armor, but we don't know whether his same outfit from The Mandalorian is what he will be wearing. Obviously, he's going to be wearing his armor, but we have seen a few different sort of variations. We don't know if there will be even more variation when we see him finally in the Book of Boba Fett. So,
and the same goes for Fennec Shand, for that matter. We know what they appeared like at the closing of The Mandalorian, which, you know, implied a direct continuation with the Book of Boba Fett. But there may be a slight time jump in then, because we sort of get this feeling from comments that have cropped up that it's going to be a bit of retrospective content, retrospective material, a bit of looking around Boba Fett's backstory. There could be a time jump, and, you know, the actual time slots and stories might jump around a little bit.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the only one that wants to know what Boba Fett was doing up to the point where we first see that tease in The Mandalorian. You know, what is he doing on Tatooine? What's he been doing all these years since Return of the Jedi? I'm hoping the live-action series will give us a little bit more concrete information in that respect, even if it's only glimpses. We don't need to go back and do all of that story, but just sort of, you know, some sort of element of...
Yeah, well, his quest in The Mandalorian was to get his armor back, but he must have some sort of quest, some main sort of story arc in the Book of Boba Fett, and we need a little bit of explanation and lead up to that, I think.
I'm also curious whether there was much of a relationship between Boba and Fennec prior to just that tiny little tease at the end of that episode of The Mandalorian. Was there a reason why he helped her? Was it just he needed somebody sort of indebted to him to help him on a quest? Or have they crossed paths?
I think the backstory is potentially quite big, because it was Boba Fett, who found Fennec Shand in season one.
Yes, yeah.
When she was left for dead. So yeah, there's a bigger story to be told there for sure. Okay, and speaking of Kiwis showing up in Star Wars material, we know that the Bad Batch Season 2 is coming out at some point next year. We don't really have a feel for when that's going to hit our screens. But just in the past 24 hours, Michelle Ang, plays Omega, who voices Omega in the Bad Batch, revealed on Instagram that she is currently in a studio for the first time in quite some time. And she said she is tidying up some work on the Bad Batch series. Amazing how a team can connect from across the world and during a lockdown. Someone asked the question, is this for the new series? And obviously, because the other one is completely wrapped up, she replied, sure is, get ready. So there we have it. Michelle Ang is recording in the studios for Bad Batch Season 2 as we speak. And that kind of implies that things are well underway and that we won't have to be waiting necessarily that long. I don't think Bad Batch is going to be necessarily a second half of the year. It could even be potentially a first half of the year release, but we'll see. We don't have solid word on that yet.
This might imply that they already had a season two almost completely, if not fully written by the time we hit the end. We always like to know that the showrunners have sort of a wider, longer story arc in mind when playing around with these sorts of really crucial time points. I certainly want to see a lot more from the Bad Batch, so I'm hoping that they have multiple series sort of story arcs mapped out. And Michelle's comment that the team can connect from across the world and during a lockdown makes me think or assume that she is recording this from New Zealand.
Oh yeah, that's the implication. That's what I read from it. And rounding out the conversations about upcoming Disney Plus content, let's just talk briefly about Andor. Diego Luna showed up in a few headlines recently. Some of the headlines were reporting with excitement that Andor has, or implying that Andor has just finished filming, but it was about five podcasts ago, podcast 39, that we talked about Andor having fully wrapped up. I think that this slight misinformation has come about because somewhere along the line in a recent interview, he would have said he has finished filming, but that does not mean that he has just finished filming. It just means he is not filming at the time that he was interviewed. Anyway, the interview that has shown up recently that sparked a few headlines was one in which he said, "You'll definitely see familiar faces." This was with Deadline, where Diego Luna was promoting his upcoming Amazon Prime video series, Pan Y Circo, which is coming out in about a week's time. But Diego Luna goes on to say, "I can tell you about this project like no other because I can't spoil the ending if you've seen Star Wars Rogue One already. No matter what I say, I can't ruin the ending." So he's got a little bit of freedom, as you can imagine, because we know where that story is ultimately going to end up. But I think there's a lot more to this. I'm very much looking forward to one aspect I'm very much looking forward to in both Andor and Obi-Wan is the potential for cameos, because both are going to be set within a context where there are a lot of characters that we've already seen. So we already know with regards to Andor that Genevieve O'Reilly will be reprising her role as Mon Mothma. And there's a lot more that we can speculate on. There's a lot of speculation out there on the internet. Director Krennic, even Ewan McGregor possibly crossing paths with him, or someone like Enfys Nest or Admiral Ackbar. I'd really love to see Bail Organa, Jimmy Smits, coming back in to Andor. I think that'd be really cool. I liked his character. And yeah, there's obviously a need for Andor to interact with leaders of the rebellion at that time, so there's a lot of names that could crop up. And of course, thrown into the mix there is potentially the likes of Saw Gerrera, as we say, Enfys Nest, a few others that are out and about. There are some rumors and some minor leaked information about some of those names that I won't necessarily pinpoint just here in case you haven't solidly heard them, but there's a lot of speculation that can go on about who could show up in Andor.
I think that's what makes it so fun, is because his story overlaps with so many sort of threads from different sort of stories. We've seen a little bit of the rebellion in Rebels. We see it in obviously Rogue One. We know from A New Hope. We get these little bits and pieces from around the place. You know, we see the very beginnings of the rebellion in Solo. There's all these bits and pieces that a series like Andor could really sort of pull together. And with him sort of being the sort of underworld character, we could possibly see some more fringe characters, not just Rebellion. Obviously, in Rogue One, we get that little glimpse of Ponda Baba and Dr. Everson. Yeah. You know, they're sort of underworld characters. We know he's not exactly the most sort of light side aligned character. We see that he does what he needs to do. So we get glimpses that he's had a bit of a hard past and he's done things he hasn't wanted to do. So I'm really interested to see if we will see more of that element in this series.
Yeah, well, one thing that I think is kind of interesting is that back in the original trilogy era, even though it was called the Rebel Alliance, which implied an alliance of different groups, the Rebel Alliance was kind of treated or portrayed as a bit of a monolithic entity. But as we've gone forward into some of the animated series and most definitely the more recent live action material, it's been clear that there are a lot of different cells, as they say, interacting and fighting against the Empire in different ways, depending on what their experience or capabilities are. And that really opens up to storytelling in many different ways.
I like the elements like we've seen in Bad Batch, where we see sort of Hera and some of the other sort of fringe people starting to sort of get drawn in. I mean, I'm always excited when we see a character that's originated in comics or animation make that leap into live action. And I know we've had touches of references of Hera in some of the live actions, like the ghost or hearing her name being mentioned. But I think everyone is super keen to see her finally sort of portrayed in a live action series. And I don't know whether Andor is going to be the one where we finally get that, or whether they're always going to keep that as a little bit of a tease. But I am so excited. I know we've still got a long while to wait for this. It's going to be next year sometime.
Yeah, no solid date for this. No clear solid information as to whether or not this will be before Kenobi or the other way around. Or even where Bad Batch fits into that. But like I say, some of the headlines floating out there are implying that this has just finished filming. We believe that it actually finished filming over a month ago, and Diego Luna just happens to be free and talking about other things at this point in time. So it is wrapped and in the can, and with a bit of luck, we'll get some solid dates as the rest of the year unfolds. Okay, so that's a few topics talking about upcoming Disney Plus content, but let's talk briefly about Disney Plus content that has just shown up and is available to watch right now. Star Wars Galaxy of Sounds is a brief series that we talked about again in the past on previous podcasts. It is now, without much announcement, just shown up on Disney Plus. What this is a series of seven to eight minute episodes looking at the, or highlighting the sound effects, the sound engineering of the Star Wars live action material. We were speculating a little bit whether or not this would be a docu-series or something that a little more akin to the Disney Plus Xenomation series, wherein we see clips. We see basically a clip show with dialogue and music removed, where we can just focus on the created sounds for the Star Wars universe. It is, in fact, 100% like Xenomation. It is the latter. So this is seven episodes, each with a different theme, just looking at all of the artificially created sounds within the Star Wars universe. It serves two purposes. It really shows off the work of the sound engineering department and some of the visuals associated with that. But I found sort of watching these supercuts of material they really made me want to go back and watch the Star Wars films and live action material again, because they highlight reels in many ways of some of the really key pivotal moments within Star Wars, some of the things that really just make us, they're all the things that really make us love Star Wars, those sound effects, those things that are really just immersive in terms of world building.
Yeah, I was kind of not sure which version of this I wanted, whether I wanted the sort of Xenomation or a documentary, but I do really like the kind of Xenomation like we get here at the Galaxy of Sounds, with all these clips spread across the entire catalogue of Star Wars live action content. We have the 9 saga films, we have Solo, Rogue One, and The Mandalorian included in this array of clips, highlighting, as you say, the sounds and also sort of the animation, CG animation, as opposed to the Disney ones, which includes a lot of classic drawn animation.
Yeah, so just for those that haven't been following along, the Xenomation series focuses on the animated Disney material and just the sound effects associated with that, because with animation, everything has to be created. The Galaxy of Star Wars Sounds focuses on live action material, because it's within a Star Wars universe, it's quite artificial and all the sounds within that are created as well.
Yeah, so, you know, like, of course everything in Star Wars is sort of, we call it live action, but these things don't really exist in reality, so all of the sounds have to be created. We know the classic stories of inventing blaster sounds and lightsaber sounds and things like that, so we really do get to sort of sit there and appreciate. It's almost kind of fun to watch it with your eyes closed and just sort of really listen to the sounds with the soundtrack and dialogue and all kinds of other noises kind of stripped away. It's really quite fascinating to just focus on some of the sounds that you don't even sort of really realize that are there, because there's so much going on the screen. Some of the scenes are, you know, space battles and things like that, where there's just a lot of stuff going on. And when you sort of really just strip back and listen to the incredible sounds of Star Wars that are just such an integral part overall experience.
There's a lot of things in there that you don't necessarily think about as having to have been created, like things hitting droids, you know, when a number of instances along the line where R2-D2's had his torso hit. There's a very specific sound associated with that implies hollowness but solidness. And there's one that really struck me. Things like Beskar spears hitting a solid ground makes a very distinct noise that I don't think was necessarily a consequence of the prop hitting the actual stage floor, just a specifically crafted sound in that regard. So there's things you might not have necessarily thought about as being crafted sounds. But on the other hand, there's a million things that it's just so recognizable. There's almost a competition, a game show associated with this, where I reckon you can play sound bites and see who can pinpoint exactly where they came from. Because if you've listened to material, and I'm sure many of you have as much as we have, some of these sound bites are just so familiar and so we're so strongly connected with them.
Yeah, I like the categories that they have chosen for this Star Wars Galaxy of Sound series. We have wonder, excitement, dark side, light side, beeps, connections, and oddities. So this is a really fun sort of broad categories. Oddities includes things like creatures and stuff like that. Connections is obviously sort of between people and sort of emotional things. Beeps, we've obviously got a lot of droids. There's a lot of interesting droid sounds and just the vast array. Light side and dark side tend to focus on lightsaber sounds, but we've also got some of those sort of deeper sort of rumbles and sort of vibrations that a lot of force powers tend to generate that you don't really sort of think about outside of that. Excitement, we have a lot of space battles, a lot of action, and wonder has a lot of peaceful sort of planet, you know, looking out at Coruscant with just ships going by.
I quite like wonder and excitement. They're really good supercuts of really fun material. And I like the way these are edited in some ways. They tie echoes, they tie instances where content is mirrored across different installments together and into the editing. So you really see how the same sounds are used over and over again to really just enhance that recognition, enhance that connection between some of the more modern material that we're watching and some of the more historic material that we're familiar with.
Yeah, so they're not long, each about sort of 7 or 8 minutes, but it's definitely worth checking out. I like to have these sort of things as just putting on in the background sometimes just to kind of have that just quiet. It's like orchestral music, you know, you don't need to focus on it too much. It has a zen, almost meditative element to it. It's really quite a neat piece of material to have there.
So just under an hour all up. I mean, it's fun to just sit down and watch them all. And I bet that if you do, like us, you'll find you wanting to go back and watch some really key Star Wars movies or Star Wars TV, Disney Plus series as well. All right, and speaking of sound bites, we've got a bunch of other news headlines that we'll just run through now. Most of these are just soundbite level headlines, but they're worth just noting. Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales comes out on October the 1st, which is, of course, 2 days, so Friday night. If you are keen on watching just all Star Wars content, Lego Star Wars Terrifying Tales, a Lego animated style Halloween installment of Star Wars, it should actually be quite fun. I am kind of looking forward to that tonight, New Zealand time. The Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser two-night immersive hotel, we've talked about it a few times before because they revealed some preliminary pricing associated with this. We know that it's very expensive and a once-in-a-lifetime experience for many people. But interestingly, just again in the last 24 hours, the official opening date for this and the official booking date for this have been revealed. General bookings will open on October the 28th this year, and the actual experiences will start on March the 1st in 2022. And the reason I just mentioned that here is because once general bookings open up, we should have a bit more of a solid feel for the different packages that you can actually order. It was sort of preliminary pricing that was revealed earlier on, and we know that that did convey that it was quite a high price point, but we'll get a better feel for how different packages might be assembled together and what that might mean. So we'll talk about that down the line, I think, beyond October the 28th when those packages are confirmed. And finally, we've talked about the Ronin novel, which is the tie-in to the Duel episode from Visions, coming out in a couple of weeks' time. It's due in New Zealand from Mighty 8, for instance, on October the 12th. But if you're really keen on this, as we are, a brief excerpt has been released on StarWars.com, but a full 5-chapter preview has been revealed on the official Penguin Random House publisher's site. I want to read through this whole 5 chapters because I fully intend to read the entire book, and it's a good way to get in on the book before it actually is released in a couple of weeks' time. So I think we'll do our homework before the next podcast and scan through that 5 chapters, and we'll talk about that. I'll do a little bit of a mini review for the intro to that before we get a hold of the book in its entirety. Oh, and one more little bit of a news bite that relates to a conversation we're having in a previous podcast. We know that Knights of the Old Republic is being remade in its entirety for modern platforms and a PC release. It's been done by Aspyr, who are responsible for a number of titles being ported over to newer devices, old Star Wars games being ported over to new devices. We know that they have done Jedi Knight 2 and Jedi Knight Academy, Star Wars Racer and Republic Commando, porting those over to PS4 and Switch. They've now also revealed that coming out on November 11th, the original Knights of the Old Republic will be available on the Switch via Aspyr. And I find this a little bit interesting because when we were talking about the Knights of the Old Republic remake, we were talking about the implications for this in the grander scheme, what it might mean in terms of canonicity of Revan, Darth Revan and co, what it might mean in terms of merchandise associated with it. And I think the fact that the original Knights of the Old Republic is getting a re-release as well as the remake getting a release really does add substance to the speculation that this is going to be quite a big thing.
Yeah, I think whether or not this is an indication that it will be fully sort of accepted into sort of the modern storylines, or whether this is kind of Disney testing the water to see what the sort of fan reaction to this will be. I'm just glad that some of this older content, I mean, you can always go back and read older books, you can always go back and read older comics, but when it comes to older video games, the passage of time means that certain classic Star Wars stories are just locked behind old tech. And they don't really play well with modern computers and things like that. And certainly console games. There's a certain point where old consoles just want to just kick up and die. And you don't really have the ability to play them to their fullest extent on modern consoles. Or whether or not they even do play on modern ones. Anybody that's tried to play sort of classic KOTOR on a PC will know just how sort of clunky it feels. It's very small resolutions. There are certain issues with it just because of the way computer tech has developed in nearly 20 years since this came out. So I am glad to see that some of these older stories, like you said, the Racer, Republic Commando, some of the installments from the Jedi Knight series being sort of re-released on these console and Switch.
As a side note, those titles, they're released in bundles, so Jedi Knight 2 and Jedi Knight Academy as a bundle, and Racer plus Republic Commando as a bundle for PS4 and Switch. They're available to order now on Mighty Ape. They're $59 per bundle. So that might mean that the KOTOR bundle for the Switch, or KOTOR release for Switch, is going to have a similar price point. Having said all that, I mean, this is obviously a good thing. It's going to make it available to a new audience who have that tech available. But Knights of the Old Republic is playable on iPad, on iOS devices, isn't it?
Yes. I feel like I actually do, as much as I love playing the Star Wars games on the PC, it actually plays very easily on tablets. And I am glad that I've had that. It's actually been out for a number of years on the iPad. So I do appreciate that. I know it's been a while since I've played it through on the iPad, but it didn't feel any different to playing it through on the PC. I thought the controls were easy because it has that sort of turn-based combat style. It's not
relying on Twitch reactions or anything.
Yeah. So even on, you know, not so flash tablets, it was perfectly fine, but I'm glad to see it being released on others. I know for a lot of people, console is their one and only source for video games, because the sort of the graphics demand for PCs means that you have to have a fairly sort of mid to high range computer to play video games on it and stuff like that. So I am glad that particularly the Switch, I think that is a very popular format. It's a very accessible format for a lot of people. So I'm glad to see classic Star Wars content. I hope that we see more. I know they might just be cherry picking the absolute favorites out there, but I would love to see some, like, I want to see Shadows of the Empire come back in a full version. That was such a big deal back in the day, you know, with the book and comics and action figures and everything. I want to see that one join the list. So I'm hoping that this isn't just a short little quick fire. Let's make a few dollars and pump this stuff out because it's an easy conversion.
I think that one will go well on tablets and Switch. I like the idea of some of these games being available on mobile platforms, because not everyone has the time or the inclination to literally sit down and invest time in some of these games. But mobile devices that you carry with you that can be played on the bus or while you're waiting for things to happen in the real world can be a really good distraction.
Especially considering that there's been a lot of inconsistency with Star Wars mobile games that are built for the mobile games. We've, you know, invested time, thankfully not too much money, into app games and then having them close, you know, a year to 18 months down the line.
Yeah, so these are one-off purchases and not a need for an ongoing support.
Yeah, so you can just pick up and play them whenever you want, and there's no risk of the developers just suddenly closing it down.
And just dialing back a couple of seconds, so Knights of the Old Republic, you've obviously played it quite a few times on different devices, even though it's a story with very significant twists and turns and spoilers. You personally find it quite, you know, playable multiple times, quite easy to play multiple times, or worth playing multiple times.
Yeah, well, there's a very, because it is so in depth. It's like sort of the modern RPGs where there are lots of, there's a main storyline, there's lots of side quests, there's lots of things to do. You can play these types of games in a number of different ways. You can choose to go very, very light side and have your sort of choices very defined by a specific alignment. You can go very, very dark side, or you can sort of play depending on what choices you think you would make in those situations. You can play just the storyline if you want more of a streamlined sort of play, or you can explore and do all the random little side quests. There are lots of little sort of little puzzles, little things to figure out. The companions you collect along the way, they each have little personal backstories and side quests to do. So I've played through it countless times trying to find basically all of the options in the game. You know, if I play light side, you know, where does that lead me? What kind of endings do I get? If I play dark side, what happens? You know, who do I get to kill? You know, how does that change the story? And KOTOR, I find, does have quite different story paths that you can take. You know, some feel more natural depending on the way that you like to play video games, but I enjoy the variety in it and just the depth of the storytelling in it. I'm just so excited that it's kind of getting this continual lease on life, that it hasn't just been relegated to, you know, an old format that's getting lost in the past. Yeah.
All right, let's change tack a little bit and talk about product announcements and store reports. And there are many. I think with the changes in lockdown levels in Auckland, we've seen a huge release of product and online inventories being updated and product availability being updated. And people have been seeing stuff show up in, on their doorsteps, as well as the likes of Mighty Ape have started shipping out a whole lot more non-essential items. Star Wars items are all essential. Anyway, there's a lot to talk about in terms of product announcements, so let's just run through a few of these and talk a little bit about local availability. Quite a lot of Mandalorian pop vinyl figures are showing up now from a previous very large wave that included, in particular, Boba Fett and Bo-Katan and so forth. But a whole new wave has just been released, and these are expected for a November shelf date. And they're all available to pre-order from local retailers, including Mighty Ape and others. And the list includes single figures, but also some really cool scenes, diorama type figures. So we've got Fennec Shand, we've got Luke with Grogu, and this is interesting because there is a recent release of The Mandalorian with a properly scaled Grogu. So I actually find these ones quite fun because there's a ton, an absolute ton of Grogu figures, but none that are in scale with the actual human characters. So we've got Luke carrying Grogu. We've got a little diorama which has lights and sounds. Grogu on Tython, so sitting on the dome rock, meditating. I quite like that one. We've got Cobb Vanth with his helmet on, Boba Fett's helmet on. There's also a chase variant with the helmet off. We've got a glow-in-the-dark version of the Mandalorian. We've got a cool representation of Fennec Shand and Boba Fett on the throne from the closing scenes of the Mandalorian. We've got Frog Lady expected this month, Boba Fett unmasked, so Temuera Morrison expected this month, and a Dark Trooper carrying Grogu, again carrying a properly scaled Grogu, expected this month. All the others are November releases. And not released yet locally, but described as being available on Funko.com later, is a Mandalorian with a Beskar spear. We may see that showing up as a sort of separate independent wave locally in New Zealand, just to round that big long list out.
Some really fun designs in here. Obviously, The Mandalorian is the big sort of Star Wars property at the moment. It's probably a big seller for Funko, and there's such a breadth of characters and variations here. Obviously, you can sort of pick and choose which ones are your favorite, or just go completionist and grab them all.
I haven't kept track of how many Mandalorian pops are out, but they've really gone to town in terms of not just characters, but variations on characters. There's so many Grogu's, but there are some very cool ones in there. And again, like you say, you can pick and choose. I'm quite looking forward to that Grogu on Tython, for example, and the Boba Fett with Fennec Shand on the throne, that was previously occupied by Bib Fortuna. I'm quite looking forward to those slightly larger scale deluxe figures that are priced at $64 as opposed to the standard $25 pricing.
I think that's a really good one for fans that really love that particular iconic scene, but don't have quite the budget or space for like a Hot Toys or Iron Studios statue version of it, because those are definitely coming in at higher price points. So this is a fun way of replicating it. I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen some sort of deluxe Black Series set from Hasbro yet, because it's such an iconic scene, and just about all the other sort of licenses.
The imagery of the throne and Fennec Shan with the blue liquor bottle sitting on the armor to the side of the throne. I think it's going to go down in history, and a lot of people have done statues of that. Hallmark is another one I think that's done a version of it, as well as those other high end statues. Nice to see this pop vinyl version and price point for it.
Particularly since this is technically the only Book of Boba Fett sort of merchandise you can get your hands on at this point, you know, because it's kind of coming in that kind of, it was almost a teaser trailer for the Book of Boba Fett right at the end of The Mandalorian. So I feel like it's more Boba Fett aligned than Mandalorian. Obviously, in this context, it's coming out as part of the Mandalorian merchandise because it was technically part of that episode. But I feel like anybody that has the Star Wars license for collectibles should be pushing that, because once the Book of Boba Fett launches, people are going to want this merchandise. So I think that one's going to be a popular one. I know some of the multi-figure Funko Pop scenes tend to be a little bit more expensive. I was quite surprised that this scene is the same price point as the deluxe Bounty Hunters, where it's one figure with a little bit of wall and base. This is two whole characters sitting on a scene for the same price. So it's a really good price point for the amount of plastic and characters you get and sculpting. And it's going to be a hot item come December.
All right. From EB Games, expanding on their Gaming Greats line, kind of mixed, excited in many ways to see the Republic Commando Boss RC1138 figure coming out at EB Games, only in New Zealand at the moment. This is going to be priced at $59 locally. Now, we've talked about Gaming Greats a few times in previous podcasts, and we've wished for a Republic Commando. That's high on our list, my list. Some of you who know us personally or follow us over on our Villa Varakino blog know that I'm a passionate fan for Republic Commando product merchandise, and consequently, we're really hoping for this. Unfortunately, I'd have to concede that this is pretty much a repaint of the Bad Batch Hunter figure, and because of that, he's got a lot of inaccuracies in terms of his armor, the representation of his armor. He's missing some key pieces of his armor, and some pieces are just a little bit underscaled for what we would really have loved to have seen for this. But the orange and white armor, I do love, and I don't think we're going to get any other versions of this. So yeah, this figure's on my wish list.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame because, like you say, it's just a repaint of a figure, so it's not accurate. I would have expected Hasbro to actually tool proper Republic Commando figures. They did this back for the 3¾-inch figure line many years ago when they did a set of the squad of four, and then they did some of the other Republic Commando characters in sort of white and alternate colors. Know that they have the capacity to tool up the unique backpacks, the specific sizes.
For anyone that's listening that's not intimately familiar with this, all of the characters within a squad of four of the Republic Commandos has unique armor pieces, because they all have different roles to play within the squad. And Boss has some very specific armor pieces, including, you know, the distinct commander shoulder pauldron and additional bit of armor to that. None of that's been captured in this modern figure. He's missing his elbow armor. He's got the wrong shape to his bicep components. He still has the knife sheath or the installment placement for the knife sheath that Hunter has, which of course Boss does not have. So lots of little niggly bits and pieces. And it is odd, it is annoying, because the 4-inch scale ones, they all took this into account. There's full sets where all of the different members of Delta Squad have the correct armor variations, and Boss RC1138 has actually been released a few times in the 4-inch scale, has Scorch, a few different versions for each of those, and they all take into account the correct armor variations.
It's particularly frustrating because the Gaming Greats are launched at a much higher collectible price point, but on the whole, I've been very underwhelmed with the actual figures. Yes, they are popular characters. We've seen things like Nihilus, we've seen some cool variants, but when we get down to it, they basically kitbash a lot of the components for this, and it's supposed to be a more collectible range. The price point is nearly double a standard Black Series figure, but we had things like they used Darth Maul legs for the Nihilus, so the boots were completely wrong. We're seeing a lot of Stormtrooper or Battle Droid or Clone Trooper repaints, so they're not even having to tool anything here. And again, we're seeing a very expensive figure that is simply another repaint, and it's kind of annoying that we should be getting the sculpts that we deserve, but Hasbro knows that these are popular characters and people are going to begrudgingly get out their wallets and buy it because they're popular characters and we want these figures in our collection. But it's kind of annoying that we don't, that they know that we're going to get them.
I think this is a significant misstep though. For a lot of the figures, you know, sure, repaints are a bit of a cheap option, but kind of like the IG-88, IG-11 fiasco, this has just resulted in straight up inaccuracies that are poor. As you know, in the 6-inch scale for the IG-11 Mandalorian release, it was really just a repaint with additional bandoliers of IG-88, which is just wrong.
It feels like sometimes there are just things that shouldn't get passed. You know, like you see things for pre-order and it says pending license or approval. I feel like this is one of those things where Hasbro needs a slap on the wrist and going, no, do it right. That's completely inaccurate. Like seeing Star Wars merch out there that misspells Wookiee. It's like, who is approving this stuff? How is this slipping through and getting the official Lucasfilm license stamp when it's clearly wrong? It feels like...
I don't mind shortcuts for efficiency if it means we get more product. I don't mind repaints, but this is just an instance where there's too much wrong. And sure, yeah, action figures, they're not designed to be 100% accurate, but when there's some really glaring omissions in terms of armor components, it really feels like a too much of a cheap shortcut.
Like, for a $12, $15 action figure, I kind of get it, but not at the $60 price point. That's getting up there for most people. Most Star Wars collectors, that's not, you know, a minimal amount of money to throw at a figure that's completely wrong.
Yeah, well, we're going to cycle back around and talk about that price point. All of the EB Games Gaming Greats exclusive figures have been priced at $59, but there's some reason to just query that's going to crop up later in this podcast very shortly. Sorry to get a little bit down on product just there, because as we've said many, many, many times, we try and be very optimistic about all Star Wars stuff and all Star Wars product and be supportive of the manufacturers, because without them, we don't have any, you know, fun collectibles. But there's a few instances that are just grinding our gears of late. But more on the more positive side, there's some really fun releases that are coming out. And EB Games, yeah, a few missteps here and there, but one thing they've got coming out shortly is some Visions tie-in t-shirts coming out in November. They're up for pre-order now, fairly good price at $29 each, and their t-shirts, their apparel often goes on sale. There's two versions of Visions t-shirts available at EB Games, one that has a array of characters and one that has a logo montage with specific scenes from key episodes of Visions coming out in November, so you can pre-order those now at EB Games. At Spotlight, who have released quite a range of Star Wars quilting fabric over the past years, they have some Christmas-themed materials coming out, or out now, two different designs. They're available for $27 as a standard price, but if you're a VIP member and it's easy to sign up, anyone can do so, you get a significant reduction, $18.90 per meter. So these are cotton quilting fabrics, and they're good for a number of different projects.
Yeah, if you're the sort of person that likes to make table runners or your own little sort of Christmas stockings or bunting or...
Cushion covers,
no matter what, or even, you know, skirts and apparel. It's always fun to have some of this sort of seasonal themed fabrics. Obviously, we don't quite get the ugly Christmas sweater phase in New Zealand because it's our summer. So this is a fun way of sort of injecting some of that Christmas spirit with a Star Wars flair.
So there's a strongly holiday theme. They're cartoony style graphics, but they're fun because they're distinctly Star Wars. They're available locally very easily, and should be appealing to a number of crafty people in the audience.
Yeah, the print detail is quite clear. It's quite good detail on it. One is black with sort of helmets and characters, and the other one is white with more full-length characters with cute little sort of Christmas-inspired themes. These are 112 centimeters wide, so you've got a good sort of width to play with. Obviously, the sale isn't a permanent reduction, so if you are keen or crafty looking for some Star Wars fabric to whip up some things for this Christmas, now's a good time to jump in on that, so you've got plenty of time to make something with the view of using it for Christmas or giving it as Christmas gifts. It's a great fun find.
Yep. Now, we talked about in terms of action figures, we talked about the droids vintage style carback figures being available We talked about this about a podcast also ago. They're available as Target exclusives from memory in the US. There is a Black Series 6-inch Boba Fett there in the 3.75-inch vintage collection scale. There is a Boba Fett, a C-3PO, and an R2-D2. They're available through Zavvi as a close nearby retailer that's available for New Zealand, although, you know, some people have a little bit of trepidation about how those might be packaged. They are shipped across from Australia, but we have reasonable word that those are going to be available through a major New Zealand retailer by the end of the year. So just keep that in mind, and we will update as soon as we have solid availability information about that. In terms of fun exclusive action figures, the George Lucas and Stormtrooper Disguise 6-inch action figure was big news over the past week. This is on a bubble cardback, 50th anniversary Lucasfilm logo on the cardback. Full Stormtrooper get out with George Lucas sculpted head holding a removable helmet in the Black Series line. Available as initially an Amazon exclusive in the US, but also a number of other fan and independent retailers picking up, like Big Bad Toy Store. We weren't sure if we were going to get this in New Zealand when it was first announced, but it turns out just about everybody has got it in New Zealand. So it's available at EB Games. It's available at Mighty Ape, and the likes of Pop Guardian have also been able to make it available. I think Pop Guardian have already sold out because they had really good pricing. Just as a side note, if you're not following Pop Guardian yet, popguardian.co.nz, we also talk about them a lot in the SWNZ Facebook group. They have some really good pricing on Hasbro product, good pricing on some of these exclusive Black Series figures. I think their pricing was $45, plus you get a 5% discount if you use the code SWNZ5 in the checkout. They've also had really good pricing on some large vehicles and Black Series helmets. Just as a side note, that's Pop Guardian. That's a pump for popguardian.co.nz. So there's at least three retailers that are carrying this George Lucas and Stormtrooper Disguise 6-inch action figure. And it's interesting how widely varied the pricing is. Pop Guardian had it for $45, Mighty Ape has it for $49, and EB Games has it for $59. And this is what I was just talking about previously, that $59 price point for 6-inch action figures we feel is a little high. And the fact that EB Games is sticking to that price point for this figure, whereas others are able to offer it for quite a bit less, really just makes me think that they're slapping a higher profit margin on it without any true justification based on the price they're getting it for.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit of a slap in the face to Star Wars collectors. EB Games does get a number of exclusives,
yep.
So we are left with no option but to basically financially support them, even when we know that for a lot of the Black Series figures, the standard boxes are in that $40 price range, and suddenly we're paying $20 more for a slightly different cardboard, and especially seeing the likes of Mighty Ape. I tend to think of Mighty Ape as being a very sort of following the standard recommended retail price for most products. You know, sometimes we see the warehouse, you know, coming in with a bit more of a bargain sort of price matching, coming in at a couple of dollars under Mighty Ape. But this instance does give us a very stark look at the way that EB Games really does tack on extra pricing on top of that. And it is a bit cruel for collectors, particularly since they have really screwed over some local people. I mean, local collectors are not going to forget or forgive about the Jedi Revan fiasco, where they sat on collectors' pre-order money for 2 years before finally deciding that no, they weren't going to get this product in, and just cancelled everybody's orders with not even so much as an apology as to why or an explanation why. They're going to burn a lot of goodwill if they keep messing around collectors like that. You know, if you're a collector in New Zealand, you're probably not averse to buying overseas if necessary. You know, we miss waves all the time. Some things are just too high priced, and it's actually cheaper sometimes to import from overseas. The local brick and mortar stores like EB Games are going to learn the hard way if they burn too many sort of goodwill with local collectors.
All right, cycling back to positive news, a few new t-shirts have shown up around the country. JJ's has quite a wide range at this moment, both men's and women's style t-shirts, most of which are Mandalorian themed, Baby Yoda themed, but a new one that's shown up is a Return of the Jedi Boba Fett t-shirt available at JJ's. And at the slightly cheaper end of the range is a standard classic Star Wars logo t-shirt on a black t-shirt available at Kmart. Now, the Kmart pricing is fantastic if you just want some Star Wars t-shirts to have available. $12, really good pricing for a, you know, reasonable quality t-shirt.
This is technically listed sort of as like a men's shirt,
yep.
But the Kmart t-shirt sizing for men's goes all the way down to extra small, which is pretty much the woman's end of the size range if you're more on the petite side. So it's a pretty good price point. There isn't really too much competition at that price point in New Zealand. Most Star Wars shirts, if you're looking at JJ's or EB Games, are in that $30 price point. You can buy a couple of t-shirts at this price point and just wear them to death for $12.
That's what I've done. I've bought t-shirts from Kmart at that price point before, and they do last.
Yeah.
You know, simple designs often, some quite interesting and unique designs to them. It's not just the same designs we're seeing everywhere else. If they're available and they appeal to you, grab them and wear them. The Star Wars jewellery. We've talked about Short Story, the Australian luxury giftware store that has the Star Wars license, and they've been doing candles. They're also doing Star Wars jewellery. They've got a range of four necklaces in particular that are interesting. Of late, shipping in a week or two's time. You're coming up in early, mid-October. But in their necklace range, they have some of their exclusive gold-plated and a few different finishes, necklaces. They've got a Grogu pendant, a Princess Leia pendant, a Grogu sort of medallion necklace, and a Sith dark side necklace, each with different finishes, some gold, some silver, some rose gold.
I'm obviously a big fan of Star Wars jewelry. There have been some really standout collections from different companies over the years. But on the whole, Star Wars jewelry has been a little bit harder to find in New Zealand. Mighty Ape and EB Games did used to stock a lot of the Body Vibe and Bioworld ranges, but in recent years, they haven't really stocked nearly as much as they used to. And it's been a little bit harder to source from overseas. Obviously, we have some companies like Rock Love doing some very good things, but they are a much higher price point, particularly since we have to import those from the US. So I'm really excited to see an Australasian company pricing necklaces in around that kind of $40, $50 price point. It's a lot more affordable. They have good shipping rates from Australia, and these are not available internationally. They're not available in the US. So that makes them just that extra little bit special for me. These aren't going to be, you know, made in massive numbers like some of the other companies do when they're shipping all around the world. I especially love the Leia necklace, and I think the Grogu ones are unique. And if you're a dark side fan, I like the one that's just sort of like Sith and dark side. It's not specifically Darth Vader or Kylo. It's just kind of like a dark side aligned. And I think it's quite subtle. If you're the sort of person that wants some low-key jewelry, it just looks like a pretty pendant. If you don't recognize the little symbols on it, it's kind of one of those ones that you can easily wear to the office and no one's going to guess that it's a Star Wars necklace.
So we've talked about some of this giftware or buy it for yourself type product from a Short Story in a couple of instances on swnz.co.nz. Check them out. And just rounding out our store reports and product announcements, a little bit of a fun thing to stumble across just recently is the Star Wars Calippo lightsaber ice blocks available at Countdown supermarkets locally in New Zealand. Out of the blue, showed up on the Countdown online shopping site and confirmed in store by us and a number of other people around the country. These come in six packs, priced at about $8. I think there's been a price reduction in some instances down to $7.50, but fair pricing for a six pack either way. Calippo lightsaber ice block six packs. They come three lots of two different flavors, a blue blueberry lightsaber and a red watermelon lightsaber.
These are really fun. Obviously, we're coming into summer weather. New Zealanders enjoy their ice blocks and ice creams, and what better way to add a little bit of Star Wars fun than to grab lightsaber-shaped ice blocks in your grocery shopping or just as a little bit of a treat. It's fun
When we share this on the SDMZ Facebook page, I saw a lot of people thinking that would be a great idea for kids' birthday parties.
Yeah. Obviously, you've got the sort of light side versus dark side, so you can choose your alignment or just choose your flavor. We quite enjoyed these, so I thought the flavors were good. It's just a little bit of fun.
Yeah, it's a funny little thing just to mix it up. If you like just random Star Wars things, they're easily to source.
Over the years, we've had a number of Star Wars sort of themed or licensed grocery items, but it feels like it's been a little while. So yep. this is a fun
random find.
Yeah, just, you know, still holding out for a cereal or muesli bars or one of those sort of old classic Star Wars items, but this is a very welcome addition.
And one more thing we just want to talk about, because we were talking in depth about the Visions episodes recently, Since they were released on Disney Plus, there's been a few more sort of content elements added to, in particular, StarWars.com, but also to Disney Plus. A series of behind-the-scenes looks at each of the different episodes from Visions, and we've checked some of these out, not quite all of them just yet, but I found them quite engaging. They're 7 minutes, 7 minutes-ish long from memory, and they take a look, they have conversations with the developers, with the artists, with the production team about their inspirations for the actual content and the stories, and there's some good material in there. They don't show us things necessarily that we didn't necessarily see in the episodes, which you sometimes see because it's all animated. There is some concept art that's kind of new. But I did enjoy hearing about inspirations or intentions with some of this material. Like obviously the Duel is heavily inspired by Kurosawa's material, Kurosawa's films, and they spoke about that in depth when talking about the Duel and talking about, you know, using that black and white animation style to hark back to Kurosawa's black and white film era and aspects of the storytelling. Like Kurosawa often showed battles taking places in lots of different environments within one single film, and often also had an element of time pressure associated with his battles or his story arcs, and that came through in the Duel and in the behind the scenes conversations about the Duel.
I also like the way that they referenced very specific moments within Star Wars films that they wanted to pull on. Obviously, it was probably, if you've watched it, the Duel pulls elements of the Mustafar Duel instead of using a river instead of lava, but they really do isolate down specific moments that they really wanted to sort of draw inspiration from. So I appreciated the way that they sort of explained where they drew inspiration from, sort of classic Japanese storytelling and filmmaking, and then the Star Wars elements that they were pulling in as well. So I think it's been really interesting to sort of go through and dive a little bit more into the creation of these. I'm always a fan of behind-the-scenes content for anything Star Wars.
I find there's two types of behind-the-scenes content. There's behind-the-scenes content, like the making of Star Wars, that really old installment, that really shows you the nitty-gritty of how things were made and how what sort of movie magic was employed to show off floating land speeders or whatever. That sort of stuff really caught my attention. But then there's this other sort of conversation about inspiration and style, aesthetics, and design, and so forth. And the stuff on Disney Plus for Visions is kind of that latter category. But like when we were talking about the Galaxy of Sounds, this sort of material, I find, I watch it and it just makes me want to go back and watch the actual episode again.
Mm.
And it's worthwhile from that point of view. It's just makes you feel a little bit more connected to the actual episode. And it's certainly inspiring in terms of making you want to go back and rewatch the material that it's referring to. So that's on Disney Plus now, one episode for each of the Visions installments. Also on StarWars.com is an episode-by-episode guide. And they have different categories for this. They have concept art galleries. They have what they call trivia galleries, which isn't really trivia in terms of stuff you might see in the background. It's really more just sound bites from the designers and artists. I think most of the material on the StarWars.com episode guides is in fact drawn from the Disney Plus behind the scenes material. But if you just were a big fan of that Vision series and want to find out everything you can about each of the different episodes and the animation studios behind it, there are options both on StarWars.com and on Disney Plus. Alrighty, that's about it for today's installment. I guess we are done doing talking. If you have any thoughts on topics we discussed today, we're definitely keen to hear them. Leave a comment on the YouTube page or our website page for this podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you taking your time to listen to us share our passion for Star Wars. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders and another podcast episode next week and every Friday. And don't forget, you can jump on over to either our Facebook group or the SWNZ message boards to discuss all the latest Star Wars news with other Kiwi fans. Kia ora, kia noho, haumaru. Thank you for listening and stay safe.
Tūro Hawaiki. May the Force be with you.